Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, Grapple fans, and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Index here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. I am your host, Andy Wales, joined as ever for this episode 116, where we're going to talk about Elimination Chamber and a whole else besides. It's my audio tag team partner, Mr. Guy Drinkle. How are you doing, Guy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. I was venting my fury last night that I couldn't watch live TV or live SmackDown on times 30 because it was pretty punishing having to watch it at times one live. It's not good, is it?
Yeah, I kind of just did the same. I watched a bit of it last night, but I kind of skipped. I watched it like half an hour delayed so I could skip through the usual shite. And I'm glad I did that. But that Gauntlet match put me to sleep. And I just watched the rest of it literally 2 minutes before the pod on like times 12. And it looked fucking abysmal.
Yeah, the thing is, if you skip through the shite on SmackDown, you're not actually watching anything.
No.
There is no show left.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's how bad it's been lately because the best bits of SmackDown, they're on Raw. Yes. Right, first thing first, right, before we crack into that, because there's a bit SmackDown related in this as well. On Raw, I've got to say, Guy, I genuinely popped for the first time in a while. The Revival are your new Raw Tag Team Champions.
It's been a long time coming. And obviously, the rumours, I think we covered them on the last pod. If not, we talked about them on WhatsApp, about them possibly handing in their request for release and stuff like that. I mean, this doesn't really change any of that. Maybe they still want to leave. But there was also those rumours the one didn't stay because they want to put an extra emphasis on the tag division. And this is the perfect way to start it. I mean, Gable and Rude, it's very stale. I mean, they've put on a couple good matches, but you just don't... You just look at them and just go... Well, they're going to split them eventually, aren't they? Like, we know that. It shouldn't be a long-term thing. I mean, Bobby Roode's been wasted hugely.
The thing with me with Roode and Gable is you just know it's forced. That's the thing. It just looks forced. It feels forced. It doesn't feel like an actual tag team that you can think, yeah, this is, you know, the chemistry, like, I guess, like we got with Cesaro and Sheamus, you felt like there was actually some chemistry there and they had the beginnings of something. This, you feel that this is thrown together and that they've been given the belts just to almost solidify our perception that they are actually a tag team, guys, because, like you said, you know what's coming is they're going to split them. And is it Jason Jordan that comes back and Gable turns heel on Rude, which I don't think would be very good. Or is it that Rude finally gets to turn heel and become the Bobby Rude that he was in NXT and we can actually be interested in him again? Who knows? But you can't get invested in them because they don't feel like an actual tag team. And that is kind of emblematic of the tag team division throughout the WWE at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially on Raw, you look at Raw, AOP, obviously injured, or one of them's injured.
And horrifically booked in the lead up to that.
I mean, I won't talk about that. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, Drake Maverick, we know, is pointless. And I mean, Rockstar's booked. I mean, obviously, Bo likes him. And stuff like that. I mean, I don't really watch 205 Live, and his character's a bit stupid with AOP for me. But outside of that, I mean, what's Raw got? BT? Lucha House Party? I mean, Lucha House Party, you could see there's a feud there. That makes sense. Obviously, they were the ones who were booked. Well, they did that storyline where Baron Corbin was ruining Raw by booking horrendous amounts of shite. And Lucha House Party, I mean, no flips, just fists. I mean, that the original Revival gimmick, I think that works with Lucha House Party, so you could see Revival v them. That works, but I'm struggling to name another tag team on Raw.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
No, because they're all being booked as comedy acts and buried, so no one can take anybody seriously. And this is the thing. You want some comedy because it's entertainment, guys. Yeah, it is entertainment. And comedy is good when used appropriately. And for me, and used meaningfully and used sparsely. Not hit you over the head with a mallet or virtually everybody every week, because it just tends to ruin too many people. And it's, you know, the Ascension, comedy, the Fashion Police, comedy, B-Team, comedy, Lucha House Party is pretty much comedy. The Miz and Shane McMahon, oh my God. That's, you know, it is goofy comedy. The New Day do goofiness. You know, it's just so much of it over and over and over. And it's just, for me, it's too much. And it hurts a lot of the talent. There are some talents that it really works for. When you likes of Elias, there is smatterings of comedy there, but it's used in the right way and it helps him. But for most people, it's too much and it hurts. And it hurts the product. And this is the thing. We want to enjoy it. We're fans of wrestling. We enjoy watching it. It's fun. We text us away. And we just want to, and that's the thing. I want to enjoy watching it, and I don't enjoy watching it. I'm forcing myself to watch it for the last few months and beyond. And that's a real shame. And as a long-term fan, like I've said God knows how many times, I've always loved tag team wrestling, and it's a real benefit to a product, as we've seen in NXT. You know, it can be a real, real bonus to a product and a great way to build people. I mean, look at Shawn Michaels, part of the Rockers, his split with Marty Jannetty. That was huge. It was done perfectly, and it helped launch Shawn Michaels as a singles competitor. It meant something. And this is so throwaway that it means nothing, and it's a crying shame.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to try and build Hawkins and fucking Ryder up. That's the only thing I can think of which sounds a
another bit comedy duo.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you just got to hope the revival put on some good matches, whether it's Lucha House Party or Rude and Gable, because, I mean, they are capable of putting on the matches. I do agree with what you said. There's not really any chemistry there, or natural chemistry there. So hopefully you can survive till the Superstar Shake-Up after, I think it's the Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania, or the week after. And then you just kind of hope they shake it up, and then Revival can have some competition, whether it's the Bar. The Usos are probably due a change. New Day, I mean, call up Undisputed Era, rehire Sanity.
Well, that's the thing, Guy. I mean, I'd move on to SmackDown side of it as well. Is, you know, the Bar kind of disappeared off the screens a bit. Okay, we understand Sheamus is, is nursing his body and everything like that. Yeah, you've got the Usos involved in the title picture. We've got New Day now getting involved in an Elimination Chamber just because they need someone to do some bumps. But we'll get to that. But Sanity still don't feature. What was the point of calling them up if you're barely ever going to use them? You've got Gallows and Anderson, who are an excellent tag team, came from Japan with a lot of hurrah, lots of fanfare, and you booked them horrifically, used them terribly. But you've got so much talent there. You know, you've got the Revival, you've got AOP, you've got the Usos, you've got New Day, you've got the Bar, you've got Sanity, you've got Gallows and Anderson. There's seven serious tag teams, proper tag teams. And for me, if you've got one tag team division, you know, and the champions could perhaps go between shows, whatever, I don't know. But if that's one tag team division, that's a serious amount of competition. It really is. Because beyond that, what you've got is comedy, and you've got acts that the way they're being presented, you're not supposed to take them seriously. So how can you take them seriously? How can you get invested? And how can you believe that they're going to do something? Because you're not supposed to take them seriously by what you're seeing week in, week out. So what you end up with is the same feuds, the same teams, the same three teams facing each other constantly. And it gets stale and boring. So it really needs something. But as much as it needs people moving around, it needs a serious rethink and a serious change of direction and thought process and creative behind it to actually probably get behind it. Because if the rumors are true and Revival did ask for their release, who can blame them? Honestly, who can blame them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I quite like your shout of joining both shows' divisions. Obviously, it'll probably be a bit tougher if one's on Fox and one's on, I think it's the US network. Still, I'm not sure how that'd work, but I'm sure it's fixable. But I mean, say, obviously, we're just speculating here, but if we're doing some fantasy booking, say if Usos, please, for the love of God, win this Sunday, and then they keep the titles, and then we could see the Revival of the Usos, which I think could be for the first time at WrestleMania to join the division. I think that could be one that would possibly steal WrestleMania. Obviously, yeah, that's not going to happen, and we're probably going to get Shane and Miz versus fucking some other random twat.
But, yeah, probably New Day. They'll add how they're going to do it. I don't know, but yeah, we'll get to all of that as well. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, that's our that's my weekly rant on the tag team division. And you know, that's the thing on SmackDown. I see that segment with Shane McMahon and Miz talking about the tag team titles and blah, blah. And Shane looks so out of place, you know, when they're trying to talk smack with each other. It was just embarrassing. And it's just like, why are you there? Why are you in this position? A guy in your late 40s, you're not an active full-time wrestler. You never have been. Why are you in that position when there is so much talent, when you've got Sanity and you've got Gallows and Anderson in the back that you're not even using? Why are you in that position and talking about, you know, being serious about tag titles and history and all the rest of it? It just, honestly, you're pissing on the history of that division and the great legacy. It really irritates me because it's such a shame, because there is talent there and they could have a really good division if they handled it properly, and it would be entertaining and it'd be fun to watch. But anyway, right, big thing on Raw then, and the message I got, guy, leading up to WrestleMania is, why even bother watching SmackDown? Because Raw is where it's at. That's all you should really care about, because the two leading women's division wrestlers from SmackDown are just appearing on Raw, really. And it's all about the Raw Women's Championship and the WWE title of who, what. But so the whole thing of that got dragged out embarrassingly with Becky, and this whole suspension thing with Vince McMahon. So here we go. Now, we called it how long ago? I mean, we speculated on, first they said, didn't they, about the double turn? They could do the double turn with Becky and Charlotte. They kind of did that, not necessarily quite in one match, but they did that. I speculate, I give the shout for double winners. That didn't quite come off. But we certainly, between us, we called, didn't we, a long time ago, I think around Survivor Series, the triple threat at WrestleMania for Ronda's title, Becky, Charlotte, Ronda. It's bound to be that, isn't it? I think it was just after Survivor Series. And that looks to be where we're heading, doesn't it?
I mean, I bloody hope that's the way it's going to go, because, I mean, imagine if they don't put Becky back in. They will, the crowd will hijack that show so much. But, I mean, they will.
Yeah, I don't think that they're pretty dumb in some of their booking, but I don't think even they're that dumb.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's probably not the match we wanted, but I mean, there's a couple of people in our WhatsApp group who say they wanted a triple threat match, but I just don't agree. I think they're just putting Charlotte in there because she's the one the company want people to get behind rather than Becky. And
I've described her as the female Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And that's not to run down either of them, because they're both fantastic wrestlers, both supremely talented. I don't think either are the best in their divisions. I know lots of people feel that Charlotte is, and I don't think she is. I think she's probably top five in WWE women's division. I don't think she's necessarily a great wrestler, but she's an all-round product. She obviously looks the part. She's tall, she's athletic. She's got the natural lineage that very, very few women wrestlers have got. You know, her father's Ric Flair, for God's sake. So obviously that makes a huge difference. And the way she's been booked historically makes a big difference as well. But yeah, I get that feeling that the company are determined that this is their vision, that this is the leading, you know, the leading performer in their division, and they're going to make sure that they are showcased and they're in or within a shout of it at the biggest events. And for me, guy, I know lots of people are not happy and blah blah going on Charlotte and whatnot. I don't want to see her in this match, not because of all that, oh, Charlotte gets all the opportunities and blah blah. I think it makes sense. You've had the one-on-one Ronda v. Charlotte. If you have the one-on-one that we nearly got that we want to see, which is Becky versus Ronda, then you can have that triple threat. I just think in the natural storytelling sense, you can lead up to that rather than if, you know, where's the 1v1 and the anticipation of Ronda and Becky for the first time if you've already seen them together in a triple threat.
Yeah, and the thing for me, I think it was Tadeu who made this argument. I might be wrong on that. In the group, I mean, you look at the iconic matches throughout history of WWE and probably just pro wrestling in general. You don't name many triple threat matches, do you? Let's be honest. Like, the triple threat matches are easy to make great matches, but an iconic match, you think of Rock, or an iconic feud, probably more so. The Rock v Stone Cold, Rock v Hulk Hogan, I mean, Undertaker v Shawn Michaels, Triple H v Undertaker, whatever. And adding Charlotte in, not randomly, because she's obviously part of the storyline, and ways it makes sense, but we expect this to be the first women's match to actually main event a WrestleMania. Maybe the last. I mean, it'd be hard to top this. Because if Ronda Rousey's only going to be here short term, not much is going to topple her star power. And a triple threat match, I think it's playing it safe, whereas if it was a single match between Becky and Ronda, you could probably say it'd definitely be the most iconic thing in women's history. But, I mean, adding a triple threat match, is this going to topple Trish and Lita as the biggest women's feud? Probably not. Maybe the biggest moment in terms of the match, but as a feud, no, not really. So I think it's just playing it a bit safe, adding Charlotte in there. And the Roman Reigns comparison, I think, is quite apt, really, because I think she's just getting added in there, I don't know, just to keep her relevant. I mean, well, I don't see the damage of putting Charlotte v Asuka again at WrestleMania. I mean,
no.
I mean, now, obviously, we haven't mentioned Asuka. I mean, you mentioned Charlotte being in the top five. Asuka's probably top three worker. Probably, obviously, she's Japanese, she struggles with the character, but she's getting better at that. But I mean, if you did a rematch from last year's WrestleMania, no streak and that shit, and now Asuka's been legitimized, it'd be much better. You'd probably give it more time and stuff like that. It'd be better, and then you can build to whatever. And now I think it's left SmackDown really short in the women's division. We'll probably talk about that when we get to the tag team chamber.
Yeah.
But this adding Charlotte in, it just makes it less iconic for me.
Yeah, I think I know. Yeah, like you say, I think it's kind of playing it safe, and there is the talk of this thing of. Obviously, the strong rumors that Ronda's going to take time out, that she wants to start family and things like that straight after WrestleMania, like, understandable. But I get the feeling that even if she does, that she would come back, and there would be, you know, there would be her coming back. So I think there would be the opportunity to do that match in the future. That could, you know, that would be your match, you know, coming back possibly, but. Well, I mean, we'll see how it plays. I think I can understand them, but in other ways, it kind of does feel a little bit forced. And they have been smart enough to at least turn Charlotte heel to embrace the negative reactions that she started to get, and the way that fans were kind of turning on her and having that sense about her in similar ways that they did with Roman Reigns, that they felt that. This was a character that was kind of being pushed upon them a bit too much, rather than it was an organic thing and they were cheering because they wanted to get behind them. But we'll see how it all goes. But that's the other casualty within all of this, really, or the big casualty is that SmackDown Women's Championship belt. Now, like you said, where is the opponent for Asuka? That belt seems almost forgotten about, like it's meaningless.
She's not been on TV for weeks.
Yeah, that's it. She's not on TV. It's not on the Elimination Chamber. There's no storyline building up to who's going to face her or anything like that. Yeah, Ember Moon's injured. The biggest focus for the women's division, between aside from that triple threat match, is the tag team. You know, the inaugural tag team titles, which is understandable because it is a big thing, but there is nothing, you know, it is possible to have more than two storylines in a division. There is nothing. And it just feels as though SmackDown, we are, if you didn't know it, SmackDown is the B brand, and it's I don't know who's to say it's not even B. Is it C, D, E, F? How far down the alphabet does SmackDown come at the moment, Guy?
I mean, if 205 lies about X, it's probably still below that. I mean, it's not good at the minute. I mean, since I mean, last year, I think it's fair to say SmackDown's been better. I mean, we had the highlights of the Almas v. Rey. I think we had 3 matches in a row.
Don't call him Almas. Andrade. Andrade.
Fuck off. Andrade. I mean, we had that 3-week spell with Andrade. I'm calling him Almas. Almas v. Rey. That was excellent. I mean, the rest of the show was pretty shit, but that match carried it. And we've not had that. I mean, Daniel Bryan is an interesting character, but his TV matches aren't. I mean, they're not going to push the ball out with that either, because they're going to save it for pay per view.
Don't feel like the title's really going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard with an elimination chamber because you have to have a feud between 5 other people. And we'll get to that when we cover it, but there's a lot of shit in this match. And yeah, I mean, SmackDown has just really suffered since, I mean, possibly before the Rumble, but post the Rumble. Obviously, Becky was the biggest part of that since she's now, obviously, she's done a couple of appearances in SmackDown, but the main stuff's for Raw, as we keep saying. It's just really, really lost at the minute. And yeah, they're not really using all the talent. And obviously, there was that vignette. Or not even vignette, it was just Kevin Owens giving us an update on Raw, and he said he doesn't know which show he's coming back to, but I mean, how they could use him on SmackDown, oh my god. Whether he's a face, I mean, we saw him kind of turn face before he left. It'd be quite interesting to see him as a face. But either way, I mean, he's a character SmackDown needs. I mean, he's probably a character Raw needs, but Raw, you get lost in the pack quite easily. SmackDown, he could go there and be main event pretty easily. And if he's back for WrestleMania, you could see him feed Daniel Bryan pretty easily. Well, there's a small spoiler for who I'm picking to win the Elimination Chamber. But, yeah. The quicker Kevin Owens come back and hopefully to SmackDown, the better for me.
Yeah, well, let's get on to the chamber then, the event. Pre-show is Buddy Murphy versus Akira Tozawa. I don't watch 205. I can't remember the last time I watched it. I don't really feel any need to watch it. I'm starting to get that way towards Raw and SmackDown, if I'm honest. Yeah. I'm very close to the point where all I'll watch is NXT and main event pay-per-views. I'm very, very close to getting to that point, I'm afraid. So Buddy Murphy, Akira Tozawa, I'm sure this will be a fun match, but if I'm brutally honest, I don't have any investments, so I couldn't really care less who wins.
Yeah, I'm in the same position as you. It'll be a great match. It won't get the reaction it deserves because it's on the pre-show. So there'll be like half, if they're lucky, an arena. They really need to put the Cruiserweight title on TakeOvers, don't they? That's probably the best way of fixing it. I think they need to put 205 Live and NXT together, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, that's as my call from a long time ago, is 205 should be filmed in Full Sail, at least with a small intimate crowd. Get it back on there. They're hardcore fans, and it'll feel more special than it does at the moment. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned before we went on, before we started the pod, Braun Strowman's taking on Baron Corbin. I don't know where the hell this came from. And, oh, Jesus, I can see myself fast-forwarding through this. I've got zero interest. Strowman has fallen off a cliff. And Baron Corbin is just, he just bores me. Just bores me. In the ring, on the mic, he bores me.
Shite. All shite. Gonna fast forward this. Fucking shit.
Yep. Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush versus Finn Balor in a handicap match for the Intercontinental Championship. So it's a handicap match, but if Finn Balor pins either of them, whatever, he can become champion. So he could pin Leo Rush and become the Intercontinental Champion. Do you see that happening?
Why isn't this a chamber match? I mean, obviously there's already two.
You can't have 3 people in the chamber, really, can you?
No, I mean, there's so much within that story. I mean, look at the mid-card on Raw. Elias is fighting Jeff fucking Jarrett. Drew McIntyre is fighting nobody, and it looks like he's going to be feuding with Kurt Angle. or someone else. I mean, you could have Finn, Bobby, Dean Ambrose, Drew.
I've got to say, I disagree, because I think it'd be too much chamber matches. We're getting two, and that's enough. But
you can fuck off one.
it'd be so much shite.
Say you fuck off the women's one, because let's be honest, there's only two teams who can win that. We know that. The rest of it's going to be fucking horrendous. Bayley and Sasha is the only one who can actually wrestle.
So Bobby Lashley, Leo Rush versus Finn Balor. Do you think Finn Balor's going to win the title?
I pray to God he does, because Bobby Lashley's horrendous and Leo Rush is annoying. And we're building a WrestleMania, and if Bobby Lashley has a match at WrestleMania, I'll be very upset.
Yeah, so my feeling at this moment in time is Finn Balor won't win it, but there'll be a one-on-one match, title match at WrestleMania, Lashley versus Finn Balor, and that's when he gets the title win.
Oh, that'd be fucking abysmal.
Yeah, I'm sure it will, and it's a shame that Finn Balor is being wasted with vacuums as such as that. But
the only thing I'd say to that is, obviously last year Finn was in the IC title match and it was Seth and Miz in triple threat match, so I think the IC title is a possible great curtain opener, curtain raiser, whatever the fuck the word is, for WrestleMania, and I don't think they'd put Bobby Lashley in a match that like that. So obviously there's another pay-per-view before WrestleMania. So
is there?
Yeah, there's Fastlane.
Is there? Oh my god.
Yeah.
I thought this was the last one we had to endure. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why the Elimination Chamber is not the one before WrestleMania, because it makes sense. But there's another one. So I mean, maybe if Finn wins here, they can have the rematch at Fastlane, and hopefully Finn wins outright, and then he could move on to something more interesting with someone who's not shit.
Yeah, and then they can have a killer match at Mania. That makes sense. So we're going for Balor not winning this, but winning it at the next chance he gets.
I think he'll win tonight, because if he, I know they've buggered off rematches storyline wise, but I think he'll win, and then they'll have a rematch at Fastlane just to bore everyone to death, and then hopefully excite everyone with the IC title at WrestleMania.
Yeah, all right, I'll go for that. Right then, let's get on to that the inaugural Women's Tag Team Championship. So they're going to crown Women's Tag Team Champions, and they will be able to go on both shows. So, you know, who knows? Maybe that is an idea that they could use for the men's tag team titles as well. But anyway, like you said, look, it's Nia Jax and Tamina. Ugh. The Riot Squad. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. The Iconic. The Iconic. Not the Iconics. They are Iconic. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. Bayley and Sasha Banks. Yep. Naomi and Carmella. Ugh. So we've got...
Wait, they're on different shows. That's bullshit.
Yeah, three are on one, three on the other. And no, but like you said, realistically, there is only two teams that could win this, isn't there?
I was getting Naomi mixed up with Natalya. Sorry. My bad.
Oh, right.
I forgot how to read there for a second.
Well, blandness just kind of morphs into each other, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's fucking shit. I'll just continue from what I was talking about before. I mean, you look at them, Sasha and Bayley and the Big Lasses. That's what their name should be. The Big Lasses.
The Big Lasses.
God.
No, they can say Samoan in harmony. They can say it right together. In unity, they can say it. I can't see them being called the Big Lasses.
Oh, dear. But, I mean, you can only see them two winning. I mean, Nia Jax and Tamina, I mean, you fear for God who they're fighting, because they'll just injure them. and Sasha and Bayley, maybe they'll save it for WrestleMania, but the rest of it's just filled with utter shit. The Riot Squad, boring, stale, can't really wrestle. Obviously, Ruby Riot's not even in this, and she's kind of going to get battered by Ronda Rousey. But I don't know how that came about, but whatever. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, at least they're a tag team. I'd say it for Riot Squad, I suppose. But Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, I mean, I think it's fair to say Sonya Deville has potential. So does Mandy Rose, but she's not very good in the ring.
No, she's not.
She's probably like potentially Carmella.
Oh, dear me.
Yeah, that sounds really harsh.
That's not good, is it? That's pretty harsh.
Yeah, I mean, you could see them build into something this, but not the first ones. The Iconics, I think we all like them, and the tag team division really suits them. But do you really want the first women's tag team to be a comedy act? And that's what they are. And I think
the dance breaks.
Yeah, no, we'll get to that shit. but I mean, the Iconics, you could see long term that they'd be a good part of this tag team division, but as the first one, no, not really. Sasha Bailey, I covered that. They're probably, I think they'll be favourites, but I think they'll save the moment for WrestleMania. And Naomi and Carmella, just no, for fuck's sake, no. Naomi's boring, and Carmella is. She was annoying as a heel because she just screamed throughout matches. Then put her with R-Truth, it was kind of funny. I mean, she's one of the better ones on SmackDown, but that doesn't say much. That says more about SmackDown Women's Division.
No, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, she's a bit more of a complete package than the rest of them, but I mean, I think Asuka's literally the only one on SmackDown now who I could give a toss about. It's not going to be pretty, this match. And as I said, I don't think this match should be in the Elimination Chamber. I know it's going to be. It's a historical moment for two reasons. But
yeah, there is that. It's historical. And it is a unique way to get six tag teams in one match and present it as something, like you say, for such a historical moment. So it kind of makes sense to put it in that setting. And also, obviously, because it's a gimmick-type match, you can have all the smokes and mirrors and different things can happen and a way of hiding the limitations of so many of the wrestlers in this, because let's be honest, beyond Bailey and Sasha, the rest are all very, very limited in the ring.
Yeah, this
they really are, and I know Naomi's is not bad.
She's just going to do like some mad shit off the top.
Yeah,
of the pod,
she doesn't do an awful lot. Sonya Deville is okay. Apart from that, they are very, very limited. They really are. And Nia Jax and Tamina, I can't see past them winning it because it's the thing, you know, you've seen it on NXT, on these tag team tournaments. We've seen it on NXT UK. It makes sense. For your first tag team titles, you crown a heel team and then you can have the babyface team chasing them. The fan favorites then get their moment for everyone to cheer. And it just, it makes storyline, it makes sense. It's an easier story to tell and people can get behind it, and it sets you up a match for the future as well. But I just think it is going to be an absolute shit show of a match.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this at all.
No,
not, I mean, I didn't realize how bad the card actually was before we started this pod. I mean, I literally looked at it like 2 minutes beforehand.
In fairness, it is pretty bad.
I saw Baron Corbin v Strowman at the bottom. Didn't know that was on it. Intercontinental match, I only knew that on Raw. And any handicap match with a title in is fucking stupid and shit. Oh, this match is going to be so bad. So bad. It's going to...
Are you like me though? Do you think it's going to be Nia Jax and Tamina?
Yeah, I think
the big lasses.
They're definitely getting called the big lasses.
I was going to say it could be the name for the pod, but we couldn't do that. We'd get in trouble.
I mean, it makes sense, but at the same time, you said that's what NXT do, but NXT books stuff well, whereas the main roster doesn't. So I don't know. Let's fuck it. I'll just go for Naomi and Carmella.
Oh my god, no. No.
Imagine the dance break. Yeah.
Oh god, no.
Yeah.
So what about the other tag team titles that are on the line? We mentioned it briefly, The Miz and Shane McMahon. What did they call themselves? Was it McMiz or something like that? Oh my god.
That is news to me. I just wanted to die.
I just wanted to climb in the ring, slap them both in the face and say, no, no, you do not say that ever again. No. Against the Usos for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. I know you mentioned earlier, pray to God that Usos win this. I don't think that's happening. For whatever reason, I don't know. I just don't think that's happening. We're getting something at WrestleMania with Miz and Shane McMahon, whether it's a breakup or something, God knows, and it's going to be shit.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I pray the Usos win, and I pray they end up fighting the Revival and joining the thing, but
yeah,
this is WWE, and it's going to be horrendous.
Or do we get the Usos winning here by some kind of mistake from McMahon, from Shane, and that's how we
get the split.
Get the Miz and Shane at WrestleMania, which will be shit.
Yeah, they both be shit. At least I'd have a piss break. Like fucking 5 a.m.
I pretty much guarantee you're gonna have about 3 or 4 of them at least.
Yeah, but that's a really bad one. Shane v Miz.
That's a shit break.
Never mind. Yeah, that's a good 10 minutes of that. Oh God, I like the second one because then there's not a title involved, and the Usos can have a good. Well, but they've been one of the best tag teams in the company for 3, 4, 5
years. Yeah, then we can have the Usos versus the Bar or New Day again, because we haven't had that in about 3 weeks.
Well, yeah, exactly. But at least it'd be good. I mean, to be fair, I think you slightly disagree, but at least the match with the Bar wasn't the worst thing in the world. This will probably be the match of the night, which is worrying.
I don't know about that. Like,
yeah, but we went through the rest of the card, Andy. There's not much else.
Buddy Murphy and Akira Tozawa.
That's going to be the match of the night. Yeah.
Bell to bell.
That's going to be the match of the night, yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll get some other great big spots in the other Elimination Chamber match, but we'll get to that. So I'm going to call you then. You've got to put your name down on this then. Where are the titles going in this match?
Oh, I hate you. Oh, they're going to keep them, aren't they? Shane and Miz are going to keep them and ruin WrestleMania.
Right. So, Ronda Rousey, Ruby Riott for the Raw Women's Championship, just because Ruby Riott wants a match.
So we'll skip this
what
one.
The hell will book it?
I mean, I can't remember. I think it was on Twitter. I think Ruby Riott lost like 17 matches in a row.
Yeah, she has a 14% win record.
Yeah, I mean, I like Ruby Riott, but I mean, why is she in this fucking match, really? Yeah. It's just, bless her, she's going to get battered. It's just really pointless. I mean, they could probably do with her on SmackDown, if I'm honest. How long do you reckon this one will be? 2 minutes? 5 minutes?
No. Look at how big the card is. They're going to stretch this out to a good 10 to 15 minutes.
They'll probably have it 10 minutes. 5 minutes of bullshit with Charlotte and Becky, because I think Charlotte said she'll be front row. I mean, could have a match and actually have a good match with someone, but you know. Yeah, it's just fucking... It's just a bit pointless, isn't it? I like the fact they've got a women's title match on the next pay-per-view, and then they did all this shit with Charlotte and Becky, and just like, you're going to find Ronda at WrestleMania. It's like, well, the weekend's fucking pointless then, isn't it? it's just really silly.
I think this is just another opportunity to get Ronda out there, gets her another match under her belt, and it's just... I think this is just a setup for Becky confronting Charlotte, and we're having some kind of big brawl, and we're going to end up with a mass brawl between the three of them. That's how I see this one.
Yeah, I mean, you'll probably have Becky attacking Charlotte, which probably makes more sense. And what I think one of the rumors is that we'll get Becky v Charlotte at that Fastlane thing. And then if she wins, she'll probably get added to the match or whatever, which, I mean, it's a bit of a shit suspension. but just seems a bit... I mean, the match at WrestleMania is going to be good, but before it, I think it's going to be poor.
I think this is just to set up a scene, a segment between these three brawling, whatever, and then we get the next few weeks of Becky turning up on Raw and all sorts of things happening. And I mean, Becky's hugely over. She absolutely kills it on social media. She is the queen of social media and the king as well, seeing as she's the man. She totally reigns over social media without a shadow of a doubt. But actually, in live performance in the ring with a mic in the hand, and most of it's really good, but some of it, I don't know. Sometimes the facials, it doesn't quite support the character that she's portraying, and like it's almost like a social media game is better than the real thing. But yeah, this match, Ronda versus Ruby Riott, this match is purely a prop for the next 3-4 weeks leading up to that triple threat match at WrestleMania. That's all this is, and I don't think anybody expects anything else. So yeah, Ruby Riott tapping out to the armbar, is that it? That's what we expect to see.
Oh yeah. I mean, it just depends how they'll probably thicken it out with the rest of the Riott squad coming out, and they'll probably end up all getting injured or something. I mean, if this match before the Elimination Chamber, maybe they'll get injured out of the match and we'll have something random. But I doubt it. I mean, that's a fucking hell. That's what I'm wishing for, is a random women's tag team to go in the chamber match, which speaks volumes of this pay-per-view. But yeah, it just depends how quickly it's going to be, really, I suppose. I think it just be... Yeah, I agree. Tapping out within 10 minutes and then we'll have 5 minutes of bullshit, I imagine, outside.
Yeah. So that just leaves the Elimination Chamber for the WWE Championship. Yeah, that still exists, that title. You kind of wouldn't imagine it.
I like the new one. I like it.
I mean in the way that the TV is being presented. It's like such an afterthought. And who are we going to get for Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania? Because you look at the combatants in this match. Mustafa Ali is out with injury, and he's been replaced by a member of the New Day. I mean, how random, totally random is that? And so you've got Daniel Bryan, the champion, obviously AJ Styles, former champion, totally makes sense. Randy Orton, multi-time champion, always kind of involved nearby. That, I suppose, that makes sense. Samoa Joe's been involved in the title picture, quite a prominent figure. That totally makes sense. Kofi, as I mentioned, is totally random, despite the great performance on SmackDown. And then we got Jeff Hardy, just like totally, it feels out of the blue, because Jeff Hardy's been mid-card and mostly losing, and suddenly he's in the chamber match for the potential to win the title. And like, what, for me, Guy, if we've got Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Randy Orton and Samoa Joe, absolutely fine. If you add in Andrade Cien Almas and Rey Mysterio into this, at least you've got more prominent and you've got multiple storylines going on, and I think we would have an absolute killer match.
Yeah, that's the thing. None of this really makes sense. Obviously, Mustafa Ali was kind of a big part of the storyline because obviously he had the feud with Joe going on. Joe can feud with everyone. I mean, that promo a couple of weeks ago where he just came out and destroyed everyone was fantastic.
Yeah. At some point, they have to put the title on him. They've got to do that.
Even if it's the mid-card one.
Put that WWE title on him. For a 2-3 month reign, at some point, put the title on him, and that solidifies everything that he's done. And then it solidifies him for the next year or two after it as well. Mm-hmm. Even if you are going to use him to enhance some other people, but it needs a run somewhere in there, and as much as anything, deserves it as well.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. But I just don't think they'll pull the trigger on him. I think he'd be one of the best heel champions. I'm not Daniel Bryan's killing it at the minute, but Joe's just next level. It's just a shame. I think they've wasted Joe hugely. It's just a damn shame, really. But I agree with everything you said about what we talked about before we started recording. I mean, why isn't seeing that fucking Andrade, Andrade and Rey, as we mentioned earlier, have been carrying SmackDown before all this bullshit happened. They carried it for a good few weeks with probably some of the best TV matches we've seen in recent times, and they're not even worthy of a pay-per-view spot on Elimination Chamber, which, as we said, the card is fucking abysmal. Even if you just make them fight each other in a singles match, whatever stipulation, it's going to up the card, and they can't even get on it. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Maybe they're saving seeing fucking Andrade. I'm calling him Cien Almas. I'm used to it. Maybe they're saving Cien Almas for bigger things, whether that's after WrestleMania. And I think one of my shouts earlier in the year was him being the next Money in the Bank winner, which I think it'd be perfect for him. It just seems like a waste of the talent roster. I mean, I've never been Ray's biggest fan, but he fits in the chamber. He can do mad shit, and he's got a storyline with Almas. Almas, as I said, I mean, he's had some of the best TV matches. Young worker can actually benefit from being in there. Obviously, I think that was kind of the position there for Mustafa Ali. He was young and kind of needs legitimizing still. But now we just got a chamber full of old people. And that's what you know. I mean, the original ones, because the main card was stacked back then. You obviously had like Shawn Michaels and stuff back then. Whereas now there's a dearth of main event talent on SmackDown, especially. I mean, AJ can't be AJ v. Brian at WrestleMania. We've seen
no, but the thing I would say, guys, it's not necessarily that there's a dearth of talent. It's the way it's been booked and presented and written. Is it feels like there isn't because they haven't pulled the trigger with people at the right time. You can imagine if AJ's title reign had been interrupted by even just a 2 month reign of Samoa Joe, and then AJ getting it back from him. You know, you would feel that's it then, like you say, you know, that solidifies Samoa Joe. He's there. Just like Randy Orton feels, he feels legitimate to be in there because he's been a champion for that many times. You know, he's been around it, he's held the title. It feels legitimate. Whatever your feelings toward him and how you know, your perception of him and whether you're interested in him or not, it feels legitimate because he's held that belt. So I think, you know, long title reigns are great, but sometimes I think the shorter reigns can be useful in order, you know, just a way of getting over and that perception of, you know, more than one or two or maybe three guys that you could legitimately turn around to the crowd and say, hey, any one of these six guys could be the champion, you know, and you know that they could be because, you know, they've held it before. You can imagine, you can picture this happening. And then you've got, ooh, what's going to happen? And you're going to have to tune in to find out. And then, oh, it could go this way, it could go that way. You get more interested, you're more invested because you can actually see things. In this match, let's be honest, there's no way Jeff Hardy's going to win it. We, as much as said Randy Orton is legitimate, we don't think he will. You'd be surprised if that's going to happen. So Samoa Joe, you know they're not going to do that. And there's no way on earth Kofi Kingston's going to get the belt. So we're back to Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. And are they going to take the belt off Daniel Bryan this early? I can't see it. So then we're in a chamber match. Right? We're in a chamber match. Six people. And it's hard to see anything but the champion walking out. And then what's next? And that is the big thing. You know, 2 months out from WrestleMania, what's next for the WWE champion? Are we going to just see him and AJ Styles again? It's not exactly enticing, is it?
Yeah, that's the big question. I mean, I mentioned a dearth of talent. I agree with how you worded it a lot better than me. Obviously, there's loads of talent on there, very much misused talent, I think it's fair to say. And there's simply no faces on that show other than AJ Styles who you could think would win that. And I mean, the safest bet's probably they'll turn Randy Orton, but as we complained for about, three, four, 5 years, he's shit as a face. he's fucking shit as a face. And it obviously he had the world's shittest WrestleMania main event with Bray Wyatt a couple of years ago. We don't need to see him in another WrestleMania main event. I know his last good one was with Bryan and Batista, which was fantastic. But Randy Orton, you can't see winning it, as you mentioned. He's probably the safest outside bet because, as you said, it's dependable and legitimate. You don't need to legitimise him. Samoa Joe, I mean, we'd all fucking love it if he won. I mean, it'd be the perfect way to win it because you could see him just going wild in an Elimination Chamber and doing that. But, I mean, he's probably got the same chances of Kofi Kingston winning it, which is fuck all. AJ Styles, he needs something different rather than being the WWE title picture. He needs a big, deep story to kind of get out with that funk. I mean, he's obviously fantastic, but his very, 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 very long title reigns did him no favours. And this story with Daniel Bryan, since he lost it, again, he's the secondary character in this feud. He's getting destroyed by Daniel Bryan in terms of character-wise. AJ Styles needs to find a new character arc rather than just being the vanilla babyface. I don't know how you do it. I just don't think he should be in the title picture. Obviously, he's the most dependable pair of hands outside there and one of the best workers. And we'd all love him to be in the WrestleMania main event again, but we need something new from his character. And I don't really want to see AJ Styles be Daniel Bryan again because, I mean, the last one I remember wasn't too great. I mean, the first one was good. And we need Daniel Bryan to find something new and we need AJ Styles to find something new. And I don't think we'll find it in this match. I mean, they're the only two people I can see winning this match, so I agree with you. Kofi Kingston, we know why he's in the match because he'll just do some mad shit, but we know he's not going to win. You can put him in the gauntlet match for fucking 2 hours all you want and make it look stupid, him beating the WWE champion and fucking half the people in there. But we know he's not going to win.
No. You could put him in a 6-hour match where he beats every single man, woman, tag team on the roster in NXT, NXT UK 205 and the main WWE roster. Beat everybody. And we still don't believe he's going to come out of the chamber with the title.
Yeah. It is just utterly pointless. And, I mean, if you wanted to put a New Day person in there, put Xavier Woods in there. He can do the mad shit. He's young, and he could do with that. Kofi Kingston, he's not going to win. Once the New Day splits up, he's not going to be the one who benefits from the split, is he? Let's be honest. He was a suffering mid-carder before the New Day, and he was probably nearing leaving WWE. If we're honest, he was getting that.
Yeah, I mean, the feeling is obviously he's getting closer towards retirement now. You know that Big E is going to be the one they're going to get behind. But like you say, you know, this match, you can whittle it down. And there's only two ways that this could realistically, there's only two ways this belt could go. And I do wonder whether the crowd will start to turn if Styles got it. I really do. Because they're just getting to see it a bit too much. I think AJ needs a change of scenery. I think AJ needs to make that move to Raw.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I called a while ago, AJ go to Raw, Finn Balor come to SmackDown, become a main eventer. It freshens things up. It gives them both new challenges, new matches. Both are great, but both need a new scenery. They need something different to work with. But it's for me, Guy, I don't think the title's going to go anywhere but Daniel Bryan. I can only see that happening. There's the two most realistic outcomes, but really it's hard to see beyond Daniel Bryan keeping it and Eric Rowan obviously involved. But the big question is what next? You know, we're like you say, we're less than 2 months out from WrestleMania. This is the WWE, if I can even say it, this is the WWE Championship, and it's lacking any kind of direction and interesting storyline beyond, it's just lacking it leading up to the biggest event of the year. This is the main belt, the most historic and prestigious title. It lacks anything less than 2 months leading into the biggest show of the year. It's just like with the women's championships, it's the focus is so much on Raw that the SmackDown titles have suffered as a result.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a shame, really, because we've got Daniel Bryan's renaissance as a great heel, and there's no one for him to bounce off. AJ Styles, fair enough. We've had a decent few.
Yeah, they have, but it's probably outlived itself now.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, as I mentioned, there's no built up faces. I mean, if the plan was to put Mustafa Ali in the WrestleMania main event, I mean, who the fuck's drugged Vince there? No.
It's not fair on Mustafa Ali either, because he's not ready for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I fear they're gonna go to Randy Orton angle. That's where I'm fearing, and it'll just be stale. It'll be shit. It'll be in the middle of the WrestleMania card, and it'll just be a nothing match. It might turn out to be a good match, but it'll be a forgettable moment where a WWE title match at WrestleMania shouldn't be. I know the Raw Universal title is seen as bigger, stupidly, and it just doesn't do that belt justice, really.
The only thing you could maybe see, you mentioned it, was if Kevin Owens returns. Say Daniel Bryan keeps the title and Kevin Owens returns the SmackDown after this Elimination Chamber event. At least that would get the crowd interested.
I think that'd be the best situation. But are you going to trust a bloke whose heart, I think he's had two knee surgeries or something like that? Are you going to trust him to come back fit, firing, straight into the WrestleMania main event like 1 month after he's came back? I mean, I'd love it.
There's another triple threat match for you then.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah. And there you go. I'm going to call it then. All right. I'll balls out. I'll call it AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan versus Kevin Owens for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. I'll call that one.
I mean, that'd be good. But at the same time, just fucking do a singles match. Fuck's sake. But yeah, I mean, if Kevin Owens is in the title picture, it makes quite a lot of sense. But that's the only thing is, the only way I think they fix this situation with an NXT call-up or a returning injury, and Kevin Owens seems to be the only one who's nearing. I think Jason Jordan's career is potentially fucked. And he's obviously not going to go into a WrestleMania main event picture. Sami Zayn, same. I don't think he's not career threatening, but I don't think he's anywhere close, and he's not going to go in there. Outside of that, God. I mean, you could put like fucking Undertaker or Triple H in there, but if you want to make me not watch WrestleMania, that's how to do it.
It's a sad state of affairs, really, isn't it? So I'm saying Daniel Bryan comes out with a title.
What about you?
Same for you, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's hard to be anything but negative towards this event. You're looking at it, talking about it. My expectations are, well, get the Undertaker to dig a hole, because we need a buried alive match for this event.
Oh God! The thing is, I like some of these gimmicky pay per views and elimination chambers.
I like some of the gimmicky matches.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, but this one looks shit.
Yeah, I mean, elimination chambers are normally quite good because you can think, oh, there's a couple potential winners there. But in both of these matches, you just look at it and just go, well, there's two people who can win either of them.
Yeah.
Potentially,
and the rest is filler.
Yeah, and the rest is shit.
And it's not even very good filler.
No, I mean, if Baron Corbin Reece Strowman doesn't put me to sleep, I'll be fucking Jesus, something wrong with me.
No. it's like filling your sandwich with coleslaw. It's just a no-no.
That's harsh on coleslaw. That is very harsh on coleslaw. I was thinking like dog shit or something.
oh, dear me.
But yeah, I mean, you could mix it up with a men's chamber, but they're not going to. We know that. And it'd kind of be too late for some of the characters. And if Kofi Kingston ends up winning, I'll just turn it off.
I'll eat my hat. I need to buy it. I will buy you a hat that's
I will eat that dog shit sandwich.
Oh, God. Hey, well,
no,
but
I
we'll
fucking
be,
won't.
We'll...
No, I don't trust Vince. No, fuck that. No.
We'll be back to talk about it next week, won't we? In all its shitness.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be a fun half an hour just saying it's shit.
Yeah, 10 minutes to go through the card. Yeah, that was shit. That was shit. Yeah, that was shit. That was shit. Oh, that was good. But there was no one in the stadium at the time.
Yeah.
And that was shit. That was shit. That was shit. And it was what we expected. So there you go. But yeah, that's it, folks. That's episode 116 of the Pro Wrestling Index here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. All done and dusted. Like I said, myself and Guy will be back next week to talk about Elimination Chamber and everything that comes out of it. The good, the bad, and the downright ugly is what we expect. If you want to get in touch with us, share your thoughts on Elimination Chamber and how WrestleMania is shaping up and all the rest of it, at PW_index is our Twitter handle. So anyway, until next week, from myself and Guy, it's thank you so much to each and every one of you for listening in and downloading the podcast. We do appreciate you, and do get in contact because we enjoy that as well. So until next week, from myself and Guy, though, it is bye-bye now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.